Well, we are here for our last speaker, who really needs no introduction and is a dear friend. Jason Boulette has actually received the W. Page Keaton Award for Excellence in Continuing Legal Education because he's such a beloved speaker. And Jason, I couldn't believe when I saw your resume that your firm is 18 years old. It's no longer a minor. So
that's funny. It worked.
That, you don't understand. Like for the, it was touch and go for a while, so it worked. Like we're all excited about it.
Exactly. So congratulations on that, and I do not want to get in your way. Thank you for being here, everyone. Welcome, Jason Boulette.
Thank you.
So I have told I have kids that are aged 16, 14, 12, about to be 13, 15, 17. But I tell them, and I think I borrowed this from a Marvel show, sadly, but I tell them that you can choose to be on time, early or late, and really on time isn't an option, that it's actually very difficult to be somewhere on time. And I've been trying to live by that. So I showed up early. I also needed to read a little bit because there's some history in this, and that's not like top of mind like the law is. And so I get here, and I was like, they're looking at me like, where have you been? I was like, I'm early. And they're like, you go on in 3 minutes. And so turns out the other lesson is you're really sure the start time on your calendar is accurate. So I was, as it turned out, early still, but only by that much. So what am I going to talk about? Officer of the court. I've done a few ethics presentations. If you're a speaker, you sometimes gravitate into an area. For a long time, I did tech because it's what fascinated me as the employment space of the future, talk about crazy stuff, robots, AI, whatever. And somewhere along the way, I ended up talking about ethics. And candidly, ethics is not all that exciting all the time. In fact, often it's not. And the more I got into the topics, though, the more I was surprised at what I was surprised at. And I'm going to give you a few examples as we go through this. And it has led to a very strange relationship between me and our disciplinary rules. And in that, not in the bad kind of relationship way, but like in a healthy way. And when we got to this topic, I said, I'd like to finally talk about our duties as attorneys to the court. I've done a lot of talks on your obligations when negotiating, your obligation to your client, confidentiality, and how far it goes, the fact that sometimes you have to sacrifice your conscience to keeping a secret. I've talked about whether or not lawyers can be witnesses. I've hit a lot of things, but I've always stayed away from what I call the three series. And if you know that inside the professional rules, once you get to rule, the 300s, it's titled advocate, and everything under there is about your obligations as an advocate to the court. And I decided to finally break that seal. And the way this usually works, I have an associate that helped me. This time it was Taylor Graham in our office, who's, I'm grateful for that assistance. And I say, hey, give me some ethics opinions. Go read the rules. Like, let's talk about this. And then I sit down to actually try to write the paper. And I started where anyone would naturally start in trying to answer this question. Like, what are our duties to the court? I obviously started with, what is the oldest law in existence? Because who wouldn't think that's where you should start this paper? And unfortunately, if I get interested, I start reading. And if I start getting interested in reading, and then I start writing, and then before you know it, you have a 35-page, single-space, Times New Roman, 12-point font paper that doesn't get to the rules until, page 30. It goes a while. So fair warning, this is a little unusual, but I encourage you to listen. I was surprised at our role in history and kind of what it is that actually makes a lawyer a lawyer. And that's really what I was after. So before we get there, let's get there. So first up, how long has law been around? Turns out a really, really, really long time. I've asked people this question off the cuff. What would you say the number one thing when people, I say first law, what's the thing most people will say? Actually, there are two top contenders. What would you say they are? Yes, sir. Hammurabi's Code is, I would say, the survey says, number one answer. Number two, if for some reason you're not familiar with that one, Ten Commandments comes up a lot. And Ten Commandments, it turns out there's a dispute about how you date that because it depends on what exactly you mean by the Ten Commandments. And we'll talk about that briefly. Turns out, though, you would need to go all the way back to the 24th century BCE. And yeah, I was reading actual history papers, and so they're using BCE. And then, CE for current era, before current era, and I just kind of stuck. So if you see CE later, I'm not making a political statement. I'm just got in the habit. This code of, and I will mispronounce it, Urukagina, is the oldest recorded law. It's 4,500 years ago. Very comprehensive about property rights. It had it was actually somewhat generous with respect to the way it treated citizens. It addressed things like the exploitation of the people by priests.